In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our salvation.
Excuse me. There are two episodes in the Gospels where we see Jesus telling the fishermen apostles, Peter in particular, to go out once again and to cast their nets after having toiled all night long and having caught nothing. One of them is in today's Gospel of St. Luke, which we just read. The other is in the Gospel of St. John, which we will read sometime after Pascha. In both cases, the apostles brought in so many fish that their nets began to break, and they had to call in reinforcements to help them bring in their haul. What I would like to focus on this morning is the reaction of the Apostle Peter to each one of these episodes in the Gospels, so that we might see and learn a little bit about what a relationship with Christ is like from its beginning point to its point of mature fulfillment once we have followed him for a while and received and experienced his mercy and his love. There is a saying in the Psalms and in the Proverbs, Psalm 111 and Proverbs 1:7, that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. St. Peter, in the Gospel today, in his reaction to the miracle of Jesus, exhibits the truth of this parable. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let us look briefly at what happened today. At this time in the Gospel, Peter had only known the Lord maybe a couple of weeks at the most. He had been introduced to him by his brother Andrew, and he had spent some time hearing his words. He had had him into his home right before this incident took place, and Peter's mother-in-law had been very ill with a fever. She was close to death, and Jesus had healed his mother-in-law, and word had gotten out amongst the people, and crowds were starting to follow him about. And so, in where today's gospel begins, the apostles had been out fishing all night. They had come in, having caught nothing, and they were sewing up their nets, which had torn up a little bit. And Jesus comes out, and there was a great crowd, a great multitude, St. Luke says in the Gospel today. So Jesus commandeers Peter's boat. He was tired. He was worn out. But he gets in his boat and says, come, pull out a little bit. So he pulled out a little bit into the Lake Gennesaret, and he began to preach to the people. Doesn't say how long he preached, but he preached to the people for some time. And then, possibly as a reward to Peter and the fishermen for having used their boats at this time, he tells them to drop their nets one more time. Now, Peter is exhausted by this time, and he sighs, and he says, Lord, we've been at it all night, and we didn't catch a thing. But at your word, I will let down my nets. My brothers and sisters, that should be our prayer during times of uncertainty. At thy word, Lord, I will let down my nets. And suddenly there are so many fish that the nets start to break and the boat starts to sink, and they have to call in other people to help them bring in all of the fishes that they had caught. And at this time, in the midst of all the chaos that was going on, bringing the fish in, Peter locks his eyes with Jesus, just like he will some 3 years later after he has denied Jesus 3 times. And in the courtyard of the high priest at the praetorium, he locks eyes with Jesus there too. And suddenly, in the midst of all that chaos, it is just Jesus and Peter. That's all that's there, and that's all that matters at that moment. And at that moment, locking eyes with Jesus, he says, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. St. Cyril of Alexandria says that Peter at this moment was carried back to the memory of his former sins, and he trembles and is afraid. And being impure, he ventures not to receive him who is pure. And his fear is very laudable. His fear is a good thing, St. Cyril says, because he was encountering God. He didn't realize it at this time, but he was encountering his Creator. And faced with the awesome purity of this Creator, at that moment, perhaps for the first time, St. Peter grasped his own sinfulness, and he knew that he had no excuses, none whatsoever. It was the impure one looking into the eyes of the all-pure one, and he cowered in fear. He was simply reacting, Peter was, to the, just like all those in Holy Scripture had when confronted with the majesty and glory of God. On Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus, we are told that Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. In Ezekiel's great vision of the heavenly orders, he says, which we also read many times during Great Vespers on Feast of the Theotokos, Ezekiel says, "There was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I fell on my face." Likewise, the prophet Isaiah saw a vision of the Lord of hosts, surrounded by the heavenly orders of angels, archangels, cherubim, and seraphims, chanting, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord of Sabaoth." And Isaiah said this, "Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And even the prophet Elijah, who experienced God not in his great majesty, but in a soft, gentle breeze, Elijah hid his face in fear. These are the natural reactions of a sinful man in the presence of the all-pure God. And Peter reacts just as they do. And later on in the Gospels, on the Feast of the Transfiguration, Jesus is going to take Peter, James, and John, this same trio once again, up to Mount Tabor, and he's going to let his divinity show through just a little bit. And as we can see, I believe it's on the fourth icon there, we see Peter, James, and John falling on their faces before the glory of God. So that is a natural reaction. Both the Old and the New Testaments are replete with verses telling us that we should fear God, the fear of the Lord. St. Paul says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God." St. Peter, elsewhere in his own epistle, is quite blunt. He just says, "Fear God, period. Fear God, honor the King." We are told in the Psalms that blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in his way. And St. Paul also tells us later on that the fear of the Lord is actually one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But how do we recognize the fear of the Lord and reconcile having fear of the Lord with what St. John also says in his first epistle when he tells us, "There is no fear in love. Perfect love cast out all fear, because fear has torment. And he that fears is not made perfect in love." How do we reconcile that? Now we know for sure that God wants us to love him, because that is the reason he created us, was to share the love of God with his creation. So he wants us to love him, but does he also want us to fear him? The fathers of the church tell us that, rightly understood, of course we are to fear God. St. Maximus tells us that the fear of the Lord is twofold. He says the first type of fear is produced in us by a threat of punishment, a fear of hell, you might say. But even on that lower level of fear, some good can come from it. Self-control, patience, hope in God, detachment, maybe, from worldly things. But the second type, he said, is like a child who had feared his parents because of fear of punishment when he was young, but the child grows up. He still has a fear of his parents, but it is a different fear. Maybe it is a fear of disappointing them. Maybe it is a fear of not giving them the reverence that is due unto them. So the second type of fear, he says, it is coupled with love, lest through a familiarity with God, we become presumptuous of God. And I think that is where many Christians in the world today, I'm not talking about unbelievers, but Christians today, I think, fall more into that category today. We have become so presumptuous of the mercy of God that we therefore have no fear either of God or fear of sin. The fathers of the church tells us that we must have both fear of the Lord and love of the Lord. St. Seraphim of Seraph, who is known for being the most loving and joyful of all men, says that a man who has taken upon himself to travel the spiritual path must first of all and must above all have fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. And before we can have Jesus as our friend and our brother, we must first acknowledge him, as St. Ephrem of Syria says in that beautiful prayer that we pray during Lent, we must first acknowledge him as Lord and Master of our life. St. Nicholas of Zica of Serbia, the great bishop who after World War II spent his last 8 years in the United States, he puts this very beautifully, I think, when he talks about uniting the fear of God with love of God, and he calls it the royal path to holiness. And this is very beautiful what he says. He says, it is a great art to unite love and fear of God, because great love of God without fear imperceptibly leads to pride, while fear of God without love leads to despair. And both pride and despair lead to spiritual death. St. Peter today, like those in the Gospels, recognized his own unworthiness to even be in the presence of God, and he rightly says, depart from me. One of my favorite early church fathers is St. Ambrose of Milan, and he tells us that we have to learn from Peter and express our own worthiness to be in the presence of God. And this also, I think, is incredibly beautiful. He says, you must say, depart from me, for I am sinful, so that the Lord may in turn respond to you, just like he did to Peter. Fear not, my child. Peace be unto you. By confessing our sins to God, by giving to the Lord what is ours, which is our repentance, he in return gives back to us what is his mercy, and he tells us to fear not. St. Anthony the Great, the first real monastic, early on in his life, spoke about fear of the Lord often. He said, the one who fears the Lord will live forever. But as he lived his spiritual life and grew closer to the Lord, later in his life, having experienced his love and his mercy, he goes on to say, I no longer fear God because I love God. I no longer fear him, but I love him. And in so doing, he is not denouncing the fear that he held earlier as folly, but he is showing us that the fear of God is foundational in the spiritual life. It comes first. It must come first, and then it will find its perfection later on in love. You cannot leap directly to love without having first experienced fear of God. He says you cannot go directly to the latter without being well versed in the former. And even so great saints like St. Anthony, the fear of God is not so much replaced or expelled as it is transfigured into love. And this is what we see in that second episode of the catching of fishes that I spoke about at the beginning of the sermon from St. John's Gospel. This took place after the resurrection of Christ, after Peter had betrayed Christ, but then had received his mercy and his forgiveness once they saw him resurrected from the dead. They went out on another night of fishing, and once again, they caught nothing. And as they were still far out into the ocean, they see Jesus on the shore there, but they don't recognize that it's him. And he calls out to them that he's hungry, and that they should cast their nets on the right side of the boat this time. I don't know what made them do it, because they didn't realize it was him. But they dropped their nets, and the Gospel of John tells us that they caught 153 fish. Once again, so many that their nets started to break and the boat started to sink and they had to yell out for other people to come and help them again. This time it is St. John who recognizes Jesus and he cries out, it is the Lord. And Peter, having experienced and received Christ's mercy and being forgiven for his denial by the Lord after the resurrection and having grown in love of Christ, this time he does not cower in fear like he did the first time this happened. This time, he is so filled with love that he hurls himself into the sea and he hastened to be with his beloved Lord and Master. He has done what St. Nicholai said and followed the royal path to holiness. Just like St. Anthony, he has united his fear of God with his love of God and he hastens to Christ. He has come full circle. He began by saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And he ends up now by diving into the sea and hastening to the one he loves. Earlier in the gospel, we remember at the time that Jesus was walking on the water and Peter tries to walk out to him. And what happened then? He fell. He began to sink. His love was not perfect. But this time, he didn't try to walk on the water. He just hurled himself into the water. He feared nothing. and he wanted only to be with his Lord and his Master. He forgot the danger of the water. In a while, we are going to hear the deacon come out with the chalice, and he is going to say to us, to each and every one of us individually, in the fear of God and with faith and love, draw near. By joining fear of God with love of God, Peter hastens to Jesus and he throws himself into the water. And like St. Anthony, he can truly cry out, I no longer fear God because I love God. My brothers and sisters, may these be our words today as well. I no longer fear God because I love God. And in the fear of God and with faith and love, let us draw near. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ.